coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah. Lose control, a body and soul. Don't move too fast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Fun Friday, and you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally a fun Friday.
Finally. What do you mean we do it every Friday? And you know what? It's fun because we know we have a weekend coming up.
Well,
and there's
me, I had to wait from Monday all the way till Friday.
So. Oh, because you're on Motivational Monday. Wait, are you on the wrong day? No.
I'm on the wrong day. How did I get here? What happened?
I am so glad you were here. We have Dr. Stephen Trudeau. And, you know, my friend... Giovanni is still kind of getting better, but
he is getting better. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Telling you, he had a reaction to a medication.
He did.
Yeah, so definitely my heart goes out, my thoughts and prayers, and he will be back with us. He's just resting.
How many of us are not taking some kind of medication?
You know, I am so sensitive to medication, but I do have to take some medication.
Yeah.
You know? Do you take medication?
I'm not taking anything prescription at the moment, thank goodness.
There you go.
But there are times when, you know, you have an infection, you have to take your antibiotics, or you have, you know, a twisted ankle and you have to take some sort of pain reliever or anti-inflammatory, or you just get a headache and you pop some aspirin.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's kind of what he did. He actually took ibuprofen and...
And had a bad reaction.
Had a bad reaction. He's kind of like me. He doesn't like to take a lot of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm crazy. That's, you know, you never know.
Be really careful. And if you take any medication... Really pay attention to the side effects and how it affects you and do something about it. Don't tough it out. This is not one of the ones to white knuckle, because there's all kinds of things that can happen to your liver and your kidneys and your pancreas.
And that's what happened. His kidneys had a problem. And
Well, anyways, I'm glad he's feeling better and look forward to hearing him again.
Use caution out there. Use caution. Also, I want to wish one of my friends out there, Andy, it's his birthday. And happy birthday. And you know what? If you have anybody that's celebrating a birthday, or you are celebrating a birthday,
yeah,
or an anniversary.
Yeah, I was just thinking, celebrate anything.
Celebrate the day. That's what it's all about.
I have a good friend who lives in Northern California whose birthday is today.
Oh, there you go.
And her name is Joy.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, Joy.
And so I wrote to her on Facebook, happy birthday, and may you live up to your namesake.
Very good. Just be joyful.
So if you're celebrating anything, give us a call and give a shout out to your friends and relatives and people who you want to wish a happy birthday or happy anniversary to.
There you go.
Oh, that's right. The phone number, 805-639-0008.
Yes, that's right. And also, I do want to tell you a little bit about our show. If this is the first time you're tuning in, it is actually, it's the Kim Pagano Show, and it's all positive talk, adding value every day in every way. And, you know, I know there's a lot of politics going on.
It's revving up, isn't it?
I'm telling you, it's a big thing right now. And, of course, that's what's going to kind of take over. But you still need that feel good, you know, do good. And, you still need that positive touch.
Well, and life isn't all about politics,
even though they
will try to tell you that this is the most important election that we've ever had in the history of our country, because they say that every year or every election,
which seems
like it's every year.
And you know what's amazing is from having such a hard year, I mean, let's face it, it was a really hard year. All of a sudden, everything's better. How does that happen?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
and for me as a psychologist, I don't know who walks through my front door what their political affiliations are when they sit down. They don't know mine. And sometimes they ask, and I try to remain very neutral. I try to keep my cards pretty close. And I have some fairly strong opinions, but I really have to listen to what other people are saying. And so I often wonder, what do people do when they don't want to argue politics, but somebody else wants to discuss it?
There you go. Great point.
I guess you know what I do is I listen, and then I do reflective listening. I listen back by saying, well, I hear what you're saying is that the economy is very important to you. Well, of course it is. Isn't it important to you? Well, of course. It's important to everybody. But I'm not going to tell you how I think the world should be fixed. We're here to talk about you. And if you need to vent, if you need to share, I'm here to listen.
There you go. Well, I know. Yeah. And a lot of people like, you know, to listen to the politics. And and there's definitely, you know.
Well, it can be so polarizing. You know, we might lean, you know, left or right or wherever. I think most people are pretty centrist and in the middle and borrow some ideas from both sides. But you would, listening to other talk radio, you would think that there are only two ways in the world to think. And they are diametrically opposed to each other, and they absolutely detest each other. I don't think that's true. I think that's the rhetoric. That's how you get elected. You have to demonize the other person in order to get elected.
Yeah, and why not go about it a different way? But that's just not...
Well, because if you give an inch, you know, then they lose their power and their position. And they can't say, well, I agree with you on this point, but...
Right.
Because, oh, you agree with me. Well, you know, and then...
Yeah, so then you think, oh, wait a minute, we'll give our votes to them. So it is. It's an interesting topic, and I might, I don't know. You know, I
dabble at least a little bit because it is important and it is topical.
It is important, so. Absolutely. So, yeah. Anyways, well, we are a positive talk radio show and adding value every day in every way. And today we're going to be actually talking about kitchens with Standalone Robertson. And she is actually from the show Hoarders. And if anybody out there knows Hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's when you have a little bit too many things.
Well, not a little bit.
I know.
Yeah. In many cases, these homes are in danger, fire danger, health danger, in danger of being repossessed. There's a lot of things going on that, you know, a parent might lose their children because they've created an unsafe environment by having so much stuff in the house.
You know what? I never even thought about that aspect of it. But as being a therapist, that is a great... I mean, there are so many responsibilities of keeping your home life, you know, making sure that they get to school on time. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things. And you know,
I came home, or actually, my wife tells me about... I came home, my wife tells me that she came home. She had left our son alone for about 15 minutes while she ran to the store and back. He's old enough to be by himself for a little bit. When she came home, he had decided that he wanted to change the mood in the house, so he lit some candles.
Oh.
But he had never been allowed or instructed or anywhere near a match or a flame before.
And that's how
he did a good job, but it frightened her that she forgot that he's not a little baby and can't get up and pull open the kitchen drawers. And in our junk drawer, we have a couple of lighters for lighting candles or lighting the barbecue. And he just helped himself.
Unbelievable.
You know, you forget that you have to constantly child-proof your home. And I think a kitchen is a great place to start.
And you're absolutely right. And here's another thing is, you know, sometimes we don't tell our kids, now remember, don't open the door. Don't, you know what I mean? Well, I'm saying because sometimes what happens
is... The list of don'ts.
Well, they go, well, you didn't tell me.
You never told me that.
Yeah, so...
Do I have to tell you everything?
Yeah.
Yes.
You kind of do.
Do I have to spell it out for you? Yes.
Yeah.
They're children.
Absolutely. And they think, gosh, well, she didn't tell... You know, so anyways, that's a whole nother topic. But also we have Dr. Greg Jantz, and he is another psychologist, and he's actually going to be talking about his book is When Your Teenager Becomes a Stranger in Your House.
Oh, yes.
And... That's something, you know, it's really an insight because we think that our kids are safe. Mm-hmm. We think that they, all of a sudden, maybe they're pulling away or, you know, I've been told, you know, because I have four children to cut the apron strings, you know, kind of let them be who
it's
they
time
are.
To let go. Uh-huh.
You know, and so their little personalities start changing, but you still need to check in with them because
of course
they could be on drugs. Mm-hmm. They could be on, you need to make sure your prescriptions are put away, your NyQuil, you know, now they have to show your driver's license. There's just so it just
I actually wrote an article called How to Child or Teen Proof Your Home.
I know you did, yeah. So maybe we'll have
so many things we forget about that, you know, we bring a baby home and we run around like mads plugging up all the light sockets with those little plastic gizmos and putting the lock on the toilet seat and moving all of the stuff under the cabinets. But then when they turn teenagers, we forget that we need to, and it sounds unfortunate, but you need to hide your cash, hide your credit cards, lock up your prescription medication, no booze in the house, or if there is, it has to be locked up. I mean, there's a whole list of things that you need to do to remove temptation from not only your child, but your child's friends.
And so true. Yeah. With that, that's what we're going to be talking about. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a really quick break. I do want to give out our phone number here because we are going to be giving away stuff. It is Fun Friday here on
805-639-0008.
Right. And you are listening to Kim Pagano's show. We're going to come back and we're going to be talking with Standalone Robertson. And her website is info@thingsinplace. Can you imagine? Everything needs a home. With that, stay with us.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right, celebrate.
You celebrating? Looking forward to the weekend? A lot of people look forward to the weekend.
I am. I've got a couple parties. Actually, you know, it's kind of funny. As our work, where I work at the salon, they're actually having their holiday party this Sunday. So,
wow.
And it's kind of nice. At first, I was like, wait, it's already over. But you know what? Why not keep celebrating?
I like it.
Yeah, well, and then I'm going to go see My Fair Lady over at Civic Center.
Nice.
And so we're good. How about you?
I think I'm going to be resting this weekend.
You're feeling better?
I am feeling better, I was going to run in a race for the Thousand Oaks High School Band on the Run 5K, which is on Saturday. So if you still have time to sign up for that, go to bandontherun.com or .org. I forget. But anyhow, they have a 5K, 10K race, but I'm still not feeling my best, so I don't think I'm going to get out there and exert myself and get myself sick again.
Good for you honoring your body.
You got to try, you know, sometimes just to take it easy and kick back a little bit.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, I know we have Standalone. Are you on the
line? Maybe I'll organize my kitchen.
I know. Hey, there you go. Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
Hi, Kim. Who else is here?
This is Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to figuring out what I need to do to fix my kitchen here.
Is that what we're talking about? Talking about our kitchen?
Kitchens are a good thing to talk about in January. So many people set intentions for diets and a new way of eating and eating healthy and all of that in January, this time of year. So I really like to remind them how an organized kitchen can support that.
All right, so where do we start? You know, and it's funny because I think that this is really good because you can't take on your whole house. It's like taking on your whole life.
That's
you
got to
just take
right.
one little room
kind of compartmentalize.
And one little door and yeah. one little drawer, you know?
That's right. That's
so
right.
I do want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. If you have any questions on getting organized, we're starting in the kitchen. We've got Standalin Robertson on the line. So give us a call. So tell us, what can we do?
Okay, what I'd like people to do is really don't set an intention to get organized. Set an intention to eat healthy. So for 2012, you're going to eat healthy. You're going to start in your kitchen, and you're going to deal with your five C's, your cabinets,
mm-hmm.
your counters,
mm-hmm.
your closets, thus your storage and pantries and, you know, broom closets
yeah.
that are often in the kitchen, your cooking. You want to make sure that's clear and safe. And your cooling, and that's your refrigerator. Again, you want that to be clean and safe.
Mm.
Cabinets, counters, closets, cooking, and cooling. And you can break that down. You may focus on one a week. You may take the whole weekend. And as you said, Kim, you may just start with one drawer and do it one drawer at a time.
I used to, way back in the day when I wanted to clean something like that, I would just take the junk drawer in the kitchen and dump it out on the living room floor and start sorting through it. But actually, it was even overwhelming doing that. I didn't know a better way. What's a better way than just dumping?
Well, here's the thing about a junk drawer. First of all, when you call it a junk drawer, it's usually filled with things that are postponed decisions, things that don't really have a home, so you throw them in the drawer.
Yeah.
So in my kitchen, I don't have a junk drawer. I Ooh. Do have a drawer that I keep things like matches and, you know, different things that I want in there, but I section it off. I treat it just like I do any other drawer. It's sectioned off so that, you know, the rubber bands are in one place,
mm-hmm.
this ties are in another place. So start treating it not as a catch-all, but treat it like a real drawer, and don't just dump things in there that you don't can't find a home for. So moving forward, if you treat the drawer differently, it will support you better in what you need. When you do have to organize it, you can organize one section at a time while you're on the phone if you have it sectioned off. The other thing you may want to look at is, rather than just dumping it, just start putting like with like. Put all of the little coupons together. You know, just start pulling out things out of the drawer like with like. Find, you know, you can get your family involved. Find all of this thing and make it a game. Once you get like with like, you can say, do I really need, you know, seven screwdrivers in the kitchen?
Okay, so that's where I get stumped. I'm going, God, well, what if I, you know, what if I do need it? I mean, how do you, that's where people are attached to their stuff,
oh, yeah.
right? So
sure.
it's hard
yeah.
to, I think that's where the hoarder part comes in, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's the, I may need this one day. I can use this for something. You know what I mean? You buy a frozen pie and then you get the little tin. And you get the big ideas of, you know, the 50 ways you could use that little tin to make another pie. It would be great if the kids are going to paint. You know, it would be perfect to put under the plant to catch the water. And so you start thinking of all the ways you can use it. So you don't want to throw it out.
I like it. Okay.
But what makes the difference between, you know, holding on to, you know, some extra stuff that eventually irritates you, the people with that our actual hoarders have an emotional disturbance, and oftentimes they make emotional connections with inanimate objects, and those inanimate objects are holders of their memories and their emotional memories, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
why they can't get rid of them. So you see useless junk, and they see the chronology of their emotional life, and they can't throw that out, and that's a very
great,
difficult thing to overcome.
Great observation. I know I was working with a client, and we were trying to go through her Christmas cards. And these were not cards where people wrote lengthy messages to her. Some of these had pre-printed, you know, they signed mm-hmm. their name, pre-printed their names. I'm not even sure they'd ever even touched the card. And I asked her, was she ready to let go of those after the holidays? And she said, if I throw away that card, it would be like throwing away that person.
Oh, yeah. And okay, so I just learned a really incredible thing. Is you take all your cards, and you know those little photo, like a photo book? Is you actually put holes in them, and then you put them all in a photo book, and that's your whole year of, you know, your birthday, and that could be 2011, you know, and all your Christmas cards.
So every card you get the whole year
gets put in
a book.
Yeah, and so it's a memory of, you know, because a lot of people spend a lot of money on their pictures that they send to you.
True,
and so you can have a photo album, because I do save all those pictures.
Do you?
And now that my grandma's passed away, I have her cards, and that's my memories.
Sure.
But what a great thing to say.
But you do that selectively, right?
What do you mean?
Well, you don't keep the card that your insurance agent sent you.
No.
Okay. But you kept the card from grandma.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. No, I pick the things that are special. I'm one of those, when I get the mail in the morning or the afternoon, I go through trash, pick out my my bills, and then I file it away.
Wow, you're organized.
Well, Standalone, how do you do that? Is that the right way?
Well, I like the idea of hearing that you're only keeping cards that have a special meaning to you.
Okay.
As you can imagine, that can really add. I know a lot of times people are just taking their holiday cards and rather than, you know, hanging them across the mantle or whatever, they're punching two holes in them, putting the little binder rings in them, and making like a holiday book
right
on the coffee table. You can also take those cards, recycle them by cutting them up and making postcards that you can send out or use as gift tags. Mm-hmm. The idea is that, as you pointed out, you don't want to keep the one from the insurance. You don't want to keep.
What if he's your friend? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But, right. So you want to be selective about what, because it adds up. In that 1 year, it doesn't make a difference. But at what point, 20 years later, mm-hmm. you keep paying for storage for those things?
Yeah.
No question. You're absolutely right. And if anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking about getting things in order. We're in, 2012 here, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's time to kind of release some of that stuff. So when
you'd be surprised how much of your mind is captured in that disorganization and how much that when it's organized, when it's cleaned up, how much it frees up extra brain power to take on other things in your life.
My tagline for my business is, I'll clear your space so you can clear your mind.
Nice.
Ooh,
we like
I
that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. See, because once you clear your space, then you can, it's forcing you to focus on what's really important. And that really clears up your mind.
Wow. That's pretty powerful right there.
Mm-hmm.
I like
I like what you pointed out, Kim, and like say what we euphemistically call our junk drawer. How many screwdrivers do you need in there really?
Yeah.
You know, is there one or two that are used fairly frequently or used occasionally to fix something?
I'll tell
you. The others got to go somewhere else.
Right. And I'll tell you that you know, some people don't even have anything in order. So they just keep buying another one and another one
yes,
and another one. That
yes.
I'm sure because
you know how many potato peelers I have?
Okay, because you can't find your potato peelers?
It goes to the bottom of the drawer
and it
blends in with the other stuff. So I grab another one because they're cheap. And then the next thing you know, I got five potato peelers.
Oh, gosh. Now, a potato peeler is not something you want to, like, put in each car, you know?
No.
But a screwdriver would be a good thing to put in each car, right?
Yeah.
So, but
one of the things you can think about is I, in my kitchen, and I do this with clients, I have a drawer that holds just the things I don't use that often, the melon baller, you know, special things. Then I have a drawer that's right next to the stove, and it has, you know, tongs and forks and spatulas in it, but that's the drawer, and I have it laid out like a surgeon, you know. Those are the things to get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less.
Nice.
That's not, you know, the fun of making something special. That's like business.
So you organize by frequency of use then?
Yes.
Oh, see, definitely. I love how other
definitely.
People's brains work.
And
that's
I
great.
I love the way you said that, Doctor. Perfect. Because I can't tell you how many people have to move their Halloween platter to get to the salad bowl they use every day.
Oh, my God. Great point.
Yeah. My Halloween platter is up in the attic.
Good.
You know, anything anything seasonal, I have an actual storage area in my attic that I keep I keep it organized.
Okay, so I'm going to go one step further. I have an orange, like a, you know, one of those big orange bins. One's orange for Halloween. One is orange. I do an orange for Halloween and an orange for Thanksgiving. And then I do the red for Christmas, right? But what happens when you get so many of them? My husband's like, where do you stop, you know? But I have four kids. I'm sure we're going to be able to
do. You have a red, white, and blue one for 4th of July?
No.
I know what to get you for the 4th of July.
There you go. But is that how you would be doing organizing like that?
For me, I like the way you're doing it, and that's a good reminder as long as you are managing it. You have ornaments that all of your kids are making. One day they will take the them with them, right? The one they made in nursery school, first grade, second grade, all of the, and those will go with them. And then once you call through all of those, in a while it'll be just the best of the best that you and your husband will have. So that will it'll get big for a while and then it'll get small. Remember how organized looks with the family. It's very different than when it's just the two of you. Organized with kids looks very different.
I like that. So you start to, because I do have Tupperwares for each one of my kids with all their school pictures.
Yeah.
But I feel like I haven't really enjoyed them for all these years because I've been waiting for them to go and to give them away. Because my mother-in-law did that. She gave me a big box with my husband's stuff in it. And guess where it still is?
In the garage.
In the big box.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. We definitely need to do the garage thing. That's, I can't wait till we have to have a show on the garage.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's definitely do a show on the garage. That's when, how old is your youngest, Kim?
15.
15. That's where I'll give you the talk about, well, the crib can probably go.
Yeah, you think?
My mom still has my high chair.
But see, what about when my kids have grandchildren, or when I have grandchildren, I can't give it to them?
The crib?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know how cribs go. They recall those, right?
Oh, okay.
The one that you have with your kid is no longer safe by the time they're a grandkid.
That makes me feel better.
That way.
Okay. That's true.
You know, some things you can hold on to for sentimental value. Again, as long... People ask me, you know, what's the difference between being a little weird or a little neurotic and really having a major problem? And I look at it as a functional impairment. Whatever it is in your life, if it's a little weird, but you're doing okay, well, then it's fine. It's when there's a serious functional impairment, your ability to work, your ability to play, your ability to learn, your ability to form and enjoy new relationships. You know, so if your kitchen is a little bit disorganized, but you're functional, well, you're probably okay. If you have a couple too many potato peelers, you're probably fine. But if you're obsessively, compulsively collecting potato peelers and it's preventing you from making dinner, that's a problem. If it's preventing you from feeding your family, that's a problem.
That's a very good way to describe it. And what I'm looking for, can you use the kitchen for its intended purpose? Can you actually cook a meal in it?
Oh, so when I put that in my, garage, can I actually put a car in there? That would be a problem.
Right.
Can you use it for its intended purpose? Can a lot of people have $60,000 worth of cars in the driveway, and
$100 worth of crud in their garage.
So true. Wow.
Filled with decisions that have not been made.
Wow.
That's classic.
That is. I'm telling you. So, okay. So here's a question. You know, you have all those different dividers for your drawers and all that stuff. Do you like those?
Oh, the dividers? Yeah, to a certain extent. Depends on, you know, why I'm using them. For the silverware, I like the idea that the forks are separated from the knives. But in some drawers, it's not a big deal to me. I don't the drawer that I happen to keep my plasticware in really doesn't have any dividers or anything in it. Mm-hmm. So really, it just depends. All you're trying to do is make all of this a little easier for you, not more complicated. You don't want systems that are so complicated that you won't even use them. Got to be simple.
Well, but see, to me, when you don't have those dividers and everything's all kind of in there, even when the drawer opens, everything just kind of
skids around.
Yeah. Then how do you keep it organized?
It depends. Well, I'll tell you, because in some drawers, have you ever seen the little rubber mats that are like shelf liners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you put those in a drawer, things don't shift when you open it up. You know, everything doesn't slide back or forth when you open it up.
Kind of like my motorhome. Okay. There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
That can be a helpful thing to do. And then what works for you? I mean, some people don't like their peas to touch their mashed potatoes, right? So other people don't want their knives to touch the fork. So it depends on just organize enough that you have time for family, that you have time for your friends, and have time to enjoy your life. That's all you need to
do. And time to cook.
It doesn't need to be perfect.
There you go. Now, what if you're one of those people that have a lot of pots and pans? I mean, you know, is there a time that you need to kind of like, okay, this
Yeah, when do you go through and get rid of those pots and pans? And
I think when you realize you're not using them and that the one you always use, it's a pain to get to, it's a pain to put it back. I had a little clue in our house. My husband was great about emptying the dishwasher, but then the counter would be filled with certain things. It would be filled with storage containers. And it made me realize that putting storage containers away was a pain. So he'd put everything else away, and he'd leave all of these storage containers. And then I realized, we're never going to have this many leftovers, ever.
Well, what I do when we have guests over is I take some of those storage containers, and I give them away. I know I'm not going to ever use all of them. So
right.
So when I, you know,
so you
the turkey dinner,
goodie bags,
the goodie bag goes home, you know, goes home to my mom and dad or whoever's visiting with us who said they really liked the mashed potatoes or whatever. It goes home with them. And if they want to, they can put it in the recycling container.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. Now, here's my last thing, okay, is I'm one of those that, you know, if it has a little chip on it, a glass or whatever, trash. But then all of a sudden you get all these odd glasses you get all these odd coffee cups, you know, and then you go to like different functions.
So you start with a set and whittle it down to three or one.
Then you're going, okay, I only have three left of this set. Or you go to all these functions and they give you coffee cups. What do you do with all those?
Well, just because someone offers it to you doesn't mean you have to take it.
So that's
one thing. I leave them there. If I go to a conference, all of the freebies are not really free to me. They're not really free because now I'm managing them. Now I'm making room in my house. Now my housekeeper is dusting them. It's not free. So you can leave a lot of things behind. And some people, I just was visiting someone, and they have one mug from every place they ever visited. You know, that's their little thing. So when you open their cabinet, none of the mugs match, but the theme is that they're all from their travels, you know, and they all have the place where they're from.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about collections.
But the extra stuff, you know, donate it to, you know, your local charity.
That's true.
Definitely, I would say donate, move it on. If it bugs you, there's nothing wrong with having three glasses that don't match if you're kind of going for a funky look. So this isn't, we're definitely not saying you got to throw away glasses. And that can be a look, you know, to mix even when you're doing place settings. But if it's important to you to have six glasses that match, it's important to me. So whenever I buy a set of glasses, I buy two. I put one out, and as they break, I just keep adding to the set.
So you like everything to match?
For glasses, yes. I want them all to be clear, and if I'm serving, I want them all to be the same height. That's important to me if I'm serving. I want everyone to have an iced tea glass, not a juice glass next to an iced tea glass.
I like the same thing, so yeah. So, Sandalyn, what are the clients that you see the most? What is the most difficult part of organizing, do you say?
Paper. Information, I should say, even more than paper. Paper falls under information. They don't know whether it's okay to hit the delete button. They don't know if it may be important. A lot of us get things into our house unsolicited, things that seem like they're really important documents that look really official, and we don't know whether or not it's okay to just recycle them, shred them, get them out of the house.
And so what is the most important thing to keep? I mean, obviously, you got to pay your bills. If you pay them online or you pay them with a credit card, you don't need the envelope, so I trash. I mean, I try to see, like, okay, I get just the bare minimum of my bill left. But a lot of people have all those extra envelopes. They have, I mean, there's, you know.
I noticed that a lot of times when the actual bill comes in, people tend not to, if they're having still having a paper bill come to the house and the paper bill still sends an envelope, even though it says do not pay from this, they still send you an envelope. If all of that happens, if you can weed all of that and get that in the recycle bin right away before you put the bill in your to-pay file, it's really helpful, because if you don't weed as you go along, your bill paying pile or your action pile tends to be five times as big as it really needs to be.
It's intimidating.
It looks overwhelming. It looks daunting. But really, actionable things are probably less than a half an inch. But if it's 5 inches high with all of these solicitations, and we often treat magazines, I mean, we often treat advertisements and catalogs as if they were magazines.
Mm.
They're just sales flyers, that's all. And some of them are actually really pretty. But it's not anything that we have to make an action on.
Mm, I like that. So I have a question, since I'm glad I have Matt and Dr. Stephen Trudeau here.
Uh-oh, it's a man question.
It is a man question. Okay. And so I'm wondering if men have the same interest in keeping things organized as women do. Do they have the same challenges?
Challenges, yes. Interests, it depends on what it is. I could really care less how my shoes are lined up in the closet. In fact, they're probably usually in a pile. But my tools in my garage are very organized.
Oh.
You know, I'm one of the guys that has the pegboard with the little outlines on it.
Oh, I love that.
But my garage gets a little disorganized from time to time, but I take great joy in taking a Saturday and cleaning out or reorganizing my workbenches and my workspace in the garage. But really, my shoes, could care less about.
Really? How about you, Matt?
I was about to agree with you. I mean, I know where my clothes are, right in my drawers and my hangers. My shoes are there. I know where to find them. But, you know, me being a DJ and in radio,
mm-hmm.
the one thing that's always organized.
Your CDs is your music and your
my
records.
My music. And, yeah. But I do take, you know, I find it very therapeutic for myself on the weekend to just clean up. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Stanlin, do you have a lot of male clients?
I love working with men. The men I tend to work with, and that's, they're choosing to call me, they fall into two categories. They're usually in their early 30s and just figured out that they're ADD. And
that's interesting, yes.
Or they're 65 to 70 plus, and their wife, who did everything, has passed away.
Oh, wow.
And they you know, most of them were executives. They're used to having either what was called a secretary when they were working, and they're used to having a wife. So they're, you can go in and, you know, just put the right date on the fax machine, and they think you're like some miracle worker, you know, because they weren't able to do anything on their own. So I get those too.
Wow, I really like that. So I think that's something that we need to look at. It's kind of a personality trait of what, you know, what works for us. But the biggest thing is when you finally do get somewhat organized, it's like,
it feels so good.
It releases so much stress.
Oh,
so,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. People don't realize how much they're carrying around on their shoulders.
What literally. A gift you can give yourself by getting organized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to go to your website here, thingsinplace.com.
Yes.
Definitely.
Please do. And sign up for my newsletter.
Okay.
And it gives great little tips. Yeah, so thank you so much. I'm going to have Stanlin comes on pretty much once a month.
Nice.
I love it. This is the best, and I always get to meet such nice people.
Oh, great. Cool. Well, thank you, and I love your tips, so thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone. Oh, thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, so that was Stanlin Robertson. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and, of course, it is Fun Friday, and I'm having fun. Are you?
I am. This is great.
Good. I like that. So you know what I want to do is I have a $25 gift certificate from Lures, and that is the Fish House over in Camarillo.
Now, you were telling me about that
place. Oh, my God. It's amazing. I love sitting at the Oyster Bar, and they've got, great waiters, great food, great everything. So,
you're going to give this away to one of your listeners.
I am. And so what I'm going to do is, Matt, are you ready? Because we're going to do a giveaway, but I'm going to take everybody's name, because what I'm doing is I am collecting names right now for the end of the month to give away something big.
Ooh,
so, yeah.
Nice. All mysterious.
Right. There you go. Yes.
805-639-0008. Give us a call right now on the Kim Pagano Show.
That's right. So you can get your name in for a $25 gift certificate to Lures. And we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Greg Jantz, and his book is When Your Teenager Becomes the Stranger in Your House. We'll be right back.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Here's what your neighbors are saying about George Thompson Diamond Company in Camarillo off the 101 in Las Posas in the Target Center.
The quality is excellent.
Quality diamonds for less money.
I like the prices here.
Definitely better quality.
And I think the quality is very good.
Oh, the prices are much lower here.
Price, can't beat it.
The price is excellent.
I don't think you can beat the price.
Best prices. The service here is excellent.
George has been wonderful.
All the help is professional and friendly, and they know us by name when we walk in. It's really nice.
The prices and the people. Always had good customer service when I came in here. That's what kept me coming back.
The prices are right. The people are so friendly. They're there to help you. A family company, you know, somebody that's been around.
I'd have to recommend George Thompson.
We've had wonderful service here.
Good quality, good prices, very friendly. I always say George Thompson.
Thank you very much, George.
If I were to recommend a jewelry store, I would recommend George Thompson, your friend in the diamond business.
Beat the internet and save up to 75% at George Thompson Diamond Company at the 101 in Las Posas Road in the Target Center, right next to Staples. George Thompson Diamond Company.
Love me some Roy Orbison.
There you go.
Pretty Woman.
Right.
What a great song.
One of my favorites.
You know, just artistically perfect in that representation of that music.
Wasn't it?
You guys just got an amazing voice. The lyrics are perfect. The music is just right in your face.
And
it's just
the movie
awesome.
Was amazing.
Yes.
I mean, because that's where I go. You
that's
know,
where you
I
go. With that.
Yeah. So, anyways, I am so glad you are all here with us. It is Kim Pagano's show.
On Fun Friday.
That's right. I've got myself, Kim, and my host, my guest host, Dr. Stephen Trudeau. We got Matt on our board.
We got Matt on the
board. And our phones have been ringing off the hook.
Yeah, he's going crazy there.
Yeah, I definitely want you to get your name in. It's still not too late for a $25 gift certificate to Lures.
Lures Fish House.
I'm telling you.
I got to get over there.
It's really good.
Definitely.
And not only that, you know, is they have a great happy hour. So you can get fish tacos.
Nice.
And, yeah.
I love happy hour food.
I do,
It's
too.
A little bit smaller, and you can taste a bunch of different things.
That's my way of eating. I love appetizing eating. A little bit of everybody. So I'm like, my kids used to go, Mom, you always share with us. I know, I got to just taste everybody. And that's usually my meal, you know. So anyways, well, I know we have our next guest on the line.
What do we got here?
We have Dr. Greg Jantz. And Greg, are you there?
Hey, good to be with you today. Good morning.
How are you?
I am alive and well in snowy Seattle.
Oh, yeah. It feels
snowy
a little
Seattle.
Snowy
I heard
too.
You're getting the epic storm of all time.
Oh, gee. It's been an adventure this week. I'm so glad that I can settle down and talk with you about this today.
You're a little, I don't know. Are you on a landline?
No, I am on a landline, yes.
Hmm. It's a little...
It's a little scratchy, but we'll tough through it. When your teenager becomes the stranger in your house.
Gosh, what a great topic, because this is so real. And we were talking a little bit in the beginning of our show, is sometimes that's normal because they are trying to pull away and become their own personality.
That's their stage of development.
Correct.
Separation and individuation.
A teenager is designed to test our boundaries, to grow up and to push our buttons, and that's normal. And, you know, it reminds me, just the other day I was talking with a mom. She says, you know, my son, he's 12, and he's in the classroom one day, and he seems alert and doing great. And she says the next day, all he can say is what? And he seems spaced out. And I said, guess what? It's normal.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
Now,
at age 12, we got another surge of testosterone. And there's changes going on that, well, we should just say are awkward for the teenager as well.
Definitely, definitely. Now, when do we know that there's a problem?
You know, there's a problem when it's no longer the normal mood swings. If the problem is suddenly their school academics have plummeted, all they want to do is sleep or just isolate, hide away. And we always want to listen to what the teen says. You know, the teenager that says, oh, you know, it'd be better off if I wasn't even around. This teenager is injured in some way.
Yeah.
And remember, they're not going to always tell us really what they're feeling.
Right.
Well, I don't think they have the emotional language to really articulate what they're feeling.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, because just figuring out the emotions, how to, you know, appropriately share anger or fear or guilt. So a lot of times the teenager is going to go into their own little world. Remember, their perception is reality. And with technology, you know, they could be receiving text messages that are disturbing. Mm-hmm. We've got to understand what's going on for them.
Right, and I know that a lot of schools are really cutting back on bullying, because that's been a problem. And you know, I was just at work the other day, and there was a 13-year-old kid there, one of the girls that I work with, her son, and he was suspended from school. And I said, okay, what happened, you know, because I love to hear where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well... And he goes, are you ready for it? He goes, you don't think it's me already, do you? He was so cute. And I said, well, tell me your story. And he goes, this kid came over and hit me. And it was like, okay. And he goes, and I hit him back. And he goes, I told one of the teachers before that he was going to hit me, and he didn't really pay attention.
Right.
So he hit me.
And they have that zero tolerance policy.
What happened? He had to hit him back, right? I mean, what are you going to do, sit there and get bullied or beat up?
Kim, here's what happens. It's fuzzy about what's okay, and even the teen is confused about what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a zero tolerance is also, because there is a natural aggression with boys growing up. You know, sometimes the boys they wrestle and fight with end up being their best friend.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
So we need to understand, I call it, it's aggression nurturance. They're actually nurturing one another. That's different than being abused and abusive and being in bully behavior.
Yeah.
So, no, I know Dr. Stephen Trudeau works with a lot of teenagers, too, so this was a perfect topic, and it always works out, like, that you were to be on here today. But what, you know, what are we going to find in your book that can help all of my listeners?
Well, one of the things, if you're concerned about connecting with your teen and really what's going on, one of the things the book does is it teaches you a lot about yourself. If you find yourself a lot of anger and frustration, or maybe every time you're around your teen you feel fearful, you know, that's probably something connected to something that happened to you. And so how we respond, how we speak to our teen, mm-hmm. how we're doing emotionally is really, really important. I think the teenage years is a year that we need to practice more grace, more patience.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have firm boundaries, but do it in a graceful and loving way. I think sometimes that's confusing how to do that. So the book is going to guide you. And also, if you're at a place where, you know, you're really concerned, is this depression or what's really going on with my teen? And at some point, we've got to ask for professional intervention. So I'm going to mm-hmm. guide you in that regard. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell, say something to all my listeners. You know, as a parent, we think, what could they be depressed about? Guys, you know, they're so young. They don't have any responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but let me tell you, there is a lot of depression. And you need to take it seriously, especially with all these suicides that are, you know, popping
drug
up.
Drug abuse.
Right. Yeah, and not only that, is a lot of, you know, bullying or cutting.
Yeah.
They're depressed because they're confused.
Right.
They're depressed because they don't know what's going to come next, and it sounds and feels like it might be icky.
Oh, you're so right. And, you know, the big question for the teenager is, who am I? And
the existential dilemma, yeah.
Where do I fit in?
And they don't want to be a burden. They don't want to be a burden to other people. So that's one of the things that they say, you know what? They'd be better off without me when that's not obviously, you know.
But then parents get confused as, well, what do I do? My kid's pushing me away. They don't want me around. And they're arguing with me. And they're saying that, you know, my religion is not the right religion. And my politics are not the right politics. And your food is stupid. And your clothes are stupid. You know, you know, what is a parent supposed to do? And a number of years ago, we got kind of obsessed with this quality time thing. It was really put out there in a lot of books that it's not, you know, how much time you spend with your kid, but the quality of the time. I think that applies more to teenagers than anything else. One good 15-minute interaction while you guys go get a cup of coffee or an ice cream together can be so substantial that it sustains them for a month. You know, don't worry about them pushing you away today. Worry about them pushing you away forever.
Yeah.
And if you maintain your relationship and continue to build and grow your relationship because you're discovering who they are becoming, they will feel honored and they will feel that you actually care about them. But they still need their distance from you in order to grow.
Right. And another thing is, even if they do push you away and you're like, well, they don't want me to be with them. You know, it's like yesterday, it's funny, my 15-year-old said to me, Mom, can we just go have lunch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I really don't have a lot of time, but we just went and had lunch. I mean, I had already eaten, but it was like the fact that I was just sitting there, and sometimes you don't have a lot to talk about, but just the fact that you're there and you're listening and you're paying attention,
mm-hmm.
that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely take that time to do that. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I founded a place called The Center here in Seattle. We work with people from all over the country who come in weary, tired, depressed, and we see a lot. And what motivated me on the teenager book is I'm seeing a real concern, you know, 20% of our teenagers probably have some level of what we'll call clinical depression.
Mm-hmm.
And suicide is the number one cause of death among our teens.
Isn't that amazing?
And so we need a greater understanding. Our teenagers need to know that even if we're struggling with some things that they're doing, they need to know we believe in them. And so I want to get a message of hope and encouragement to our parents. And, you know, I'm just like you, Ken. I've got teenagers, so I'm right there.
I know. We feel it. I'm telling you. And
well, you're right about what you know, right? What you're living.
Yeah, and I know, and I know that we're not alone, and I know that the kids right now, they have to feel important, and that's the biggest thing. If they feel that they're not a part of our life, then, you know.
You know, here's a question for you, Doctor. What do you see the most successful parents doing? What is a common behavior that parents who have teens that are not out of control, what are they doing consistently?
Well, that's a great question, and I so appreciate it. Consistently, they are, you mentioned it already, there's the time factor. But they're usually engaging their teen in activities. If you have a young man, you're not sitting down and saying, "Well, let's talk" or "Let's have a family meeting." You're engaging them. You're tossing a ball back and forth, talking to your son. You're engaging them in activities that are bonding. So they're always finding a successful parenting. We're always finding ways to keep that bonding, by that keeping the communication going. I think too that successful parenting says. The teen feels love and acceptance. And remember, love and acceptance doesn't apply agreement. I mean, they can
mm-hmm.
go on and on about something and still feel love and acceptance from you, but you don't have to agree with what they're saying.
Right. I think that's so important. And the other thing is, you know, they're not always going to understand or, you know, really be in agreement with you.
Right.
And so how do you still, you know, yesterday my son was using something that I didn't really want him. He's like, Mom, you never understand anything. And I'm like, I'm sure I don't. But right now you need to, you know, listen to where we're going with this because that's not something I want you to use. You know, I mean, it was it was, you know.
I tried to explain to a lot of the teenagers I work with that, you know, if you were time traveler, if you could go back and tell your younger self something, you know, wouldn't you want to do that, give that information? And they all say, oh, yeah, I would love to go back to, you know, ninth grade or eighth grade and tell myself that, you know, that girl that I was about to ask out actually was going to break my heart and maybe I shouldn't ask her out or whatever it is. And so I tell them, I'm a time traveler. I'm from your future. I've already been there. And I could go back and tell my teenage self something. That's exactly what I'm telling you right now. And that analogy helps them at least understand why or where this advice is coming from. You know, I'm not trying to say, you know, you need to do this, that, or the other because it's a social conformity thing. It's because I already did it and experienced a lot of pain. And this is what I would tell myself to avoid that pain.
I love it. Great advice, and that's a great assignment.
Well, thank you so much. Where do we find your book?
Well, hopefully everywhere. This happens to be my 26th book, and I have a wonderful survey on the website. If you're concerned about a teenager and depression, take my free online survey. You can get that in the book, aplaceofhope.com. aplaceofhope.com.
Oh, I love it. I'm going there right away and
okay.
Check that
well,
out.
Thank you for the work that you do, and I really appreciate it.
You got it. It's teamwork with our teenagers.
You got it. It is teamwork, and I always tell my kids, if I'm not watching you, somebody else will
be. Hey, it takes more than two parents to raise a child. It takes about 12, I think.
I'm telling you. There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Dr. Greg Jantz.
That's right. And his book is...
When Your Teenager Becomes the Stranger in Your House.
Yeah, and that sometimes does happen.
You know, we think we're doing something wrong when something like that happens, but actually it's very normal. And you got to roll with the flow. And he did say, you know, if you're really feeling uncomfortable, get some professional advice.
Definitely.
You know, you can go to a therapist for one session. Did you know you can go to a therapist for one session? You don't have to sign up for a year's worth of intensive psychotherapy.
Right.
You can go in and say, you know what? I just have this one kind of iffy problem. Could you help me out with that? Could we talk for about an hour and see if I can get some advice about how to handle this one little thing with my kid? You can go for one session.
There you go. All right. Well, gosh, another great day, and it's almost over. We do have a winner. We have Julia Robinson, and congratulations.
Cool, congratulations.
She won.
How fun.
I know. You will enjoy, and we'll get all the information out for that. And, of course, thank you so much for being here, Dr.
Glad
Stephen Trudeau.
Glad to, as always.
And I always end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today is the first day of the rest of your life. Make it a good one.
That's a classic.
It is a classic.
That's a classic.
But you know what?
It
is. It's really start today. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. For any reason, or if you just want to listen again because you love it,
yeah,
you know, listen again at 1 o'clock. With that, I'll talk to you later. G-G-I-F-T.